race and a serial, along with the popular patterns, it made splendid reading. At that time, the township had a library that was sent in small numbers along with a bookcase to each school district. These were stored in homes in the district for the use of the people. Each school had its own separate library for the children. While I was in the lower grades, the Chesney School had quite a large library, and I still have a booklet they had printed naming all their books and authors of the times. In the 1890s, the village ladies formed a literary society and had several amusements for the public in order to raise funds to purchase current books. In time, there were enough to have a bookcase in some business place in town. And at certain times, a librarian would be present to open for any of the members to borrow books. In the late 90s, brought many women to join the literary group. The Chesney Argus published a woman's supplement edition with its regular paper, and every woman in the group was given something special to do. My mother, Juliet Eliza Waldron, was chairman of the literary group and assigned different ladies to subjects pertaining to them. They were affiliated with the State Federation. Then came the First World War, and in 1916, all reading was given up to do war work by everyone. It was in the 1920s when a group of young married women started a drama club and met in the afternoon. At this time, I was working in the shoe store owned and operated by my husband and I. Several times I was invited to belong, and at last Anna Nason invited me to her home, and the temptation was so great that I went. This was a delightful time. After a time, I persuaded them to have eating meetings, and they elected me secretary, a job I held for several years. In 1936, Miss Frisch, who was then county school commissioner in Saginaw County, brought a group of books to the old council rooms in the Waterworks Building on Pine Street, where Frank's Market now stands. In 1936, in October, we opened in Pete's Center with a set of shelves on these books. The Waterworks Building was anything but a pleasant place to be in because it was piled full of odd things that the council used from time to time, or the village used from time to time. And the councilmen met there, but they didn't. The books that were brought were not very desirable books. And they were old books, all of them. And I went down one day, and Helen Walker Bessinger was the librarian at the time, working for the NYA. Then I was just horrified at the condition that the thing was in. And at that time, I was president of the Chesney Study Club, and I decided that the study club should get behind it. So they fully agreed, and each one of us went out and we tried to get donations and did everything that we possibly could to further our cause and get some things. By 1938, we opened at Pete's Community Center. We went to the council and asked them for shelves to be put up in one of the council rooms, in one of the Pete Community Center rooms. And they said they didn't want those old books up there. Well, we promised them that if they would give us a chance, that we would have new volumes put in, and we would have a decent collection of books for them to serve. And in a month's time, we asked for more shelves to be built, and now we had about 1,200 good books. The NYA girls who worked for us were Helen Bessinger, Margaret McDonough Germack, now of California, Dorothy Feuerstein Adams of St. Charles, Marion Knazevich, and her sister, Dora Ann Knazevich Cuddihill, all paid by the NYA and later by the WPA.
Mrs. Babian, was this a public library? Could anybody use it?
This was a public library. Everybody could come in, and we were delighted to have everybody use it that could possibly come. The officers of the study club acted as the library board, and after Mabel Babian was a past president, she took it over as president of the group each year. Our monies came from the state penal fine, from donations, from sales of old books and magazines, and during the summer opened only on Saturdays from 3 to 5. Members of the clubs took over, and in October 1940, the WPA gave Helen Bessinger the job of librarian at 52 cents an hour, 30 hours per week. In May 1942, our first state equalization tax money came in. The village population was now about 1,800, and our township population was 3,000. Our teachers began to bring the school children into the library for books. The WPA paid Helen until January of 1943, and we had asked lodges, patrons, and the village until we had money to pay Helen until she was offered a better job in June of 1943. Mrs. Mary Ringler came to assist until fall. Then Miss Lula Wagner took over until her health failed her, and in November she quit. Donna Ketchum now took over, and with Margaret Bela Brainerd, Donna Eastwood Brown, Doris Potter Tesson, and Jean Dumas, we were able to keep open a few days a week. In May of 1944, Mrs. Robinette became our librarian. This was a red letter day for our library. A group of members appeared before the township board up in March of 1944, asking a quarter of a mill tax be put on the ballot for the library funds. I will now quote from the Argus of March the 7th, 1945. Mabel Babian presented the matter of asking the township board to put the matter of a quarter of a mill tax before the voters on April the 2nd for a township village library, and the study club endorsed her suggestion, and the petition was signed by all. The club asks everyone to vote yes on the question. This was the end of the quote from the article. Then the study club endorses the aid for the library. I now quote from the Argus of March the 7th under the heading, Ask the vote on library help. Petitions are in circulation for a township vote on a quarter of a mill aid, and under this was printed, and I quote, petitions are in circulation seeking signatures to the Chesaning Township Board asking the question of a township levy of one-fourth of a mill to be put on the ballot April 2nd. Such money, if voted, be for the Chesaning Library, which serves both the village and the township, and during the last few years has rapidly expanded its books and its service. It is hoped, if the appropriation is voted by the people, that the library can be kept open much more than it is possible now. During the time following that, we worked hard to get the quarter of a mill onto the thing and a tax on the vote, and we worked hard to get everybody to vote yes upon it. But we had quite a bit of help, and they considered that every taxpayer would be assessed about 16.5% per $1,000 valuation. The Chesaning Study Club, the Chamber of Commerce, and many other groups endorsed the plan. And the question is simply yes or no, whether it will pass or not. At this time, and since the creation of Peace Community Center, the village has furnished the library with its headquarters, heat, and light. It is hoped, if the village appropriation is passed, to, if this millage appropriation is passed to keep the library open all school days, noon hours, and afternoons of each weekday to buy more books and really enlarge the headquarters that the village is making possible. In the Argus of April the 5th, the first page in the column, notice that Township votes library aid. The ballot is 167 to 135, and this means added service to the township and the voters. Plans for enlarging now greatly grew, and we continued on until our one room in the P Community Center was so small that we had no more room to build anything except a movable bookcase on rollers. So we built that, and then we had no more room to build any cases. At this time, the small front room that was left for a waiting room in the front part of the library, the petition was taken out, and our library was enlarged as much as was possible. During these, we even got money from the salvage paper collection and from state aid, from the village council, from fine money, and the study club for books, and the township tax. The township tax at this time run $848.72. And that was in 46 that this all happened.
That was for a year?
The April 46, the study club officers were President Mrs. Helen Friend, Vice President Troy Robinette, Secretary and Treasurer was Marie Young. And the library trustees were Edna Sharp, Beatrice Dietzel, Mabel Babian, Helen Kettler, Ruth Morse, and Helen Friend. In a workshop.
Okay.
The workshop for librarians and trustees was held by the state, and we brought home many good ideas from our library, and in exchange told how our library was progressing, because each year we were able to receive more money. This year we were able to get a 5-year subscription to McCall's for $5, 2 years to a flower grower for $4, 1 year to a Fellows magazine for $1, 2 years to Popular Science Monthly for $5, and 3 years, Popular Mechanic for $6. Then we obtained the latest Who's Who in America at $15.20. The dues were paid to the MLA for 6 trustees. 12 volumes of National Geographics were bound and 19 books rebound. We also had to pay fire insurance and salaries, and we had a balance of $1,152 left on hand when we finished the year. Troy Robinette was elected president of the study club during the next year, and she was our standby as a librarian and did so much to help out in doing our different things. During this time, we thought of having bookmarks, and we obtained 2,500 of them with no cost to us. 5 places of business were advertised on them, and this went over in a big way with the children because many of them never had had a bookmark before. Then we went to a district meeting of the MLA held in Bay City for librarians and trustees. And at that, after those meetings, we had still more anticipations of what we could do. And our receipts for state aid and fines were gradually amounting to more and more. We had bought 208 books with all the rest of the things, and in the following year. Our finances were good. We were everybody was working for it, and during the summer months, Helen Frink conducted a story hour for children on Saturday afternoons at the library. It was well attended, and we considered it a success. With school starting in September, we were open at the noon hour with Joanne Newman helping. In ordering our books, we tried to supplement the volumes in the school library and asked for lists from the teachers. Early in April of 1849, we took into consideration our inadequate lighting system, and we decided it was time to install fluorescent lights. We asked the village council about them, and they offered to take care of them if we installed them at our expense. After searching, we finally found Herbert Bishop, then in the business here on Front Street, installed six fixtures with 4-foot tubes. Now it was almost impossible to remember how difficult it was to find books with the old lights. This year, the Michigan Library Association raised its dues to $2. $1 of this to go to Marion Packard Fund for the furtherance of the trustee education. But the librarian's dues remained the same. During the a business without a sign is not a mark of progression. And now the trustees thought it was time to place a library sign on our door. John Stewart from the Acme Welding Company and Graham Young of the St. Peter for Pete Packing Company were asked to design and furnish a sign to complement the front of the Pete Community Center. Mr. Young painted it, and Mr. Stewart had designed and then installed it to our satisfaction. Laura Stewart was elected president of the study club this year, with Hazel Finn vice president and Carol Dugood as secretary treasurer. The library board still consisted of Mabel Babian, Ruth Morris, Catherine Race, Robert Floyd Robinette, Edna Sharp, and Helen Kettler. At all of the MLA meetings that we attended each year, our progress was noted from time to time. And during that year, we paid out for our fluorescent lights $257. Our salaries were $605. Our books were $244. Our magazines, 9 magazines, were $18. The library sign was $23, the MLA due $10, and the registration and lunch at Lansing for 6 trustees was $7. The story hour was $10 and supplies $11, leaving a balance of $1,210.24 in our treasury. During December, we built another section of shelves. This time, they were on the northwest wall, complete to the window on the side street. And at this time, there were just no more available spaces. But in 1449 and 50, we continued on with our library growing all the time and more patronage. And the village gave us a lot of help toward our different things that we took up. And it was in this year of 1951 that Charlie Nason made us the rolling shelf to serve as more room for our volumes. During this year, Catherine Race, Barbara Ringler, Beverly Slusser, and Sandra Slusser White assisted as librarians. Our finances grew, but we always had some left over to start the next year right. Catherine Rabel was elected president of the study club in 1952, and she had been a great worker in all the times and had worked hard to keep things moving rapidly, and in 52 the trustees thought it was a fine idea to ask one or two men to work on the board with us. And after much deliberation, we asked Charles Drexler and Reverend Alan Gray. Both men accepted, and we were most appreciative of their cooperation in times of need. Mr. Drexler took time to shop for a desk, and when the trustees went to look at them and select one, they were most satisfied. In August, we selected officers in our group as follows: President Kareem Rabel, Vice President Caroline Duguid, Secretary and Treasurer Mabel Babian. This was the same office I had had starting in 1957. Mark Ireland and his wife became the official historians in September of 1957, and we placed a nameplate on the, and this was the first year we placed a nameplate on the desk of our librarian. Later in the year, the Chamber of Commerce paid for 12 lovely scrapbooks marked on the outside cover of Chesaning History. These books, to be filled with clippings from the Chesaning Argus by the members of the Library Board and the Study Club. The desk we ordered arrived, and the Village Council was delighted with it and purchased a chair to go with it. Among the helpers for the library in this year were Bonnie Schultz, Kay Schultz, and Mary Becker. We had memberships for all our trustees on each year on the MLA, and also having nearly everyone attend each spring session gave us all a bit of inspiration. Valuation of the township had risen, and taxes profited by this. Our tax this year was $1,307.28. So we still had plenty of money to keep going, but we did lack space to put up new books. And in 1953, we found our study club officers, Mrs. Hazel Marshall, the president, the vice president, Charlotte Quinn, and the secretary treasurer, Dorothy Lyondike. Our librarian trustees were Kareem Rabel, Hazel Marshall, Ruth Moore, Charlotte Quinn, and Mabel Babian. The first office action of the board was to raise the salary of the librarian to $1.25 starting July 1st, 1953.
Is that per hour?
Per hour. That was per hour. During 1954, the study club elected Charlotte Quinn president, vice president Adeline Parshall, secretary treasurer Dorothy Lyondike. We attended the spring meeting of number 5 MLA held at Ithaca, where they had a brand new library. We also attended a meeting in Flint, of the many of the officers from here. Reverend Gray was one of the trustees from Chesaning at that time, and I went along as one of the talkers for the program of how we can how to make our libraries grow. And referring back to our copy of Who's Who, we were quite proud when we found out that our own Chesaning man, Lee Ferdin, was listed in that. Now, during this year, the trustees consulted with Mrs. Noonan at the State Library about the proper manner to select our board, that they might serve on a longer and more uniform term. Since the starting of the board, each year the president of the study club automatically became president of the library board, and she appointed the trustees to serve, usually from the members of the club. This was not considered proper, according to the state officials, as we were receiving township tax money. They considered it more official if the township board appointed or selected the members of our board. In 1937, the township board had asked to be relieved of that burden, as well as helping to direct the affairs of our library. Even the tax was voted by the people. Hence the reason for our taking over the entire responsibility. Several times the state asked about the arrangements and suggested we change, but until now the time did not seem feasible. This brings us up to the year of 1955, which was another red letter day for us. This was the second red letter day, and it came on July the 5th, 1955, when the trustees met with Mr. and Mrs. Douglas Peet, and we were informed that the Peet Packing Company wished to build a library for Chesnay. We were all dumbfounded. We couldn't believe it. Now it was up to us to search for a place to build a library, and where we would like to have it built, and think of what we were going to really get into a new library building.